Welcome to the Vipe High School Spotlight on Talk 1370.
Turn your audio up, Central Tech. You're about to listen to the best high school sports talk on radio. This is the Vipe High School Spotlight. My name is Thomas Bing, the host of this great show. Excited to be here today. Obviously, we have so much to cover, as we always do on this program, but especially this week with, you know, regular season UIL 5A and 6A football still going on. You have small school football teams already in the playoffs. You have, obviously, big school volleyball teams getting ready for their playoffs. And so there's a lot to get through. I'm definitely excited to dive into all that and more in about 15 minutes after I get through the intro and obviously going through some notable results from this past week. I will be interviewing Lockhart volleyball coach Terry Lambert. This is his first year as Lockhart's head volleyball coach, so I'm excited to talk to him, but also his Lockhart Lady Lions are headed to the playoffs. So obviously an exciting period of time for Lockhart fans. In about 30 minutes, we will obviously dive into the small school football update, and that will include last week's playoff results. That will include, obviously, schedules for area teams as well. In about 45 minutes, we will update our Vipe Austin UIL 5A and 6A football rankings. Obviously, like I mentioned on last week's show, we will not be updating the 4A football rankings because we released the final regular season rankings on last week's show, and then we won't update those until after the postseason concludes. So that's why we're not updating those rankings, but we will be updating the UIL 5 and 6A rankings with their regular season still going on. Immediately following that, we will give out a show honor and I will give out some predictions. But before we get to all that, I wanted to go through some notable results from this past week because, like I said before, this is very much like a crunch time for a lot of programs because they are chasing postseason berths. They're trying to solidify not only that, but also, you know, those positionings within those districts. And so there were a lot of big games. And over the next couple of minutes, I want to kind of talk about the 5A and 6A district, or sorry, 5A and 6A scores more than small schools. I'll obviously get to small school playoff results later on in the show in the third segment. But let's start in the highest classification in the state, because there were some notable results in this classification. And we start with probably the shocker of the weekend. And that was, actually there were a couple shockers, but the big one was Colleen Shoemaker falling in overtime to Harker Heights, 51-50. What a thriller that this was. Obviously, previously Shoemaker had not lost a game this season. So this was a big performance for Harker Heights, and Harker Heights will be moving up in our rankings this week because of that win, and Colleen Shoemaker will be dropping because of that loss. Another big result, Round Rock upsetting Cedar Park Vistridge 31-28. Another great game, not just the fact that there was an upset, but just the fact that this was a very competitive contest. So Round Rock and Cedar Park Vistridge will both be obviously changing their positions in this week's rankings as well. At the top, obviously, you think of the powers in 6A. Lake Travis and Westlake took care of business. Lake Travis 42-13 win against Del Valle, and Westlake dominated Austin Bowie 45-7. Another really good team in this area, Austin Vandegrift, is obviously playing great ball at the right time. We've discussed them a lot on this program during the show's run, and Austin Vandegrift continued its win streak with a 38-6 victory against Hutto. You had Temple actually earn a forfeit win this week against longtime rival Belton. Obviously, there was, they were discussing about, you know, if they could find the time to push this game back. Obviously, this is a huge rivalry for both communities, both towns up in that part of our coverage area. So I'm not surprised that they would try to get this done. Unfortunately, the district decided that because it couldn't be played this week, that they were not going to be able to reschedule that game. But Temple does get another victory. And, you know, I know Colleen Shoemaker lost this week, but that's going to be a big game between Temple and Colleen Shoemaker coming up. Because, in a sense, Colleen Shoemaker could still win the district title if they beat Temple. So, because they would have the head-to-head, and they would have the identical district records if it came down to that. Another notable result, Round Rock Cedar Ridge is back over 500. 63-20 win against Round Rock Westwood. Battle of two Round Rock ISD programs. Round Rock Stony Point snapped a three-game losing streak with a 13-12 win against McNeil. In 5A, a lot of buys this week, but also some big results, like Georgetown beating Leander 63-42. Drippin Springs falling 55-28 to Mansfield Timberview. I'm not surprised that Drippin Springs is playing a team outside of our coverage area, because they're in a similar boat with Buda Johnson, and even earlier in the year in Wimberley, where, you know, they've had to earn victories via other teams' forfeits. And so they, you know, they want to keep themselves sharp. And I'm not surprised that Drippin Springs is finding a way to schedule some other teams while technically they could have had a bye week this week. You know, they're trying to sharpen their skills. So good to see Drippin Springs at least battle. I know they lost, but at least Drippin Springs, you know, went out there. I was like, hey, let's still see what we can do to get some competition this week. Buda Johnson, it earned its third victory via a forfeit in the last 4 weeks because of a Harlandale forfeit. Buda Johnson is Buda Johnson has one of the best records in the area, and they have three victories because of forfeits. Fluver Henderson, another great performance by the Hawks, 52-24 against Austin Anderson. Liberty Hill had a bye week this week, second straight week with a bye week. I know they're excited to be returning to action next week, especially after the hot start that they had to this season. I mean, they are still undefeated, so it'll be interesting to see how they get back on track. I'm sure they've been, you know, staying on track during these off weeks, and I know a lot of people in this coverage area are excited to see the Panthers return to the field. Leander Rouse is 7-1. After a 49-42 win against Georgetown Eastview. That's a big win for the Raiders because, you know, Eastview was starting to heat up. And, you know, Rouse is really trying to solidify itself as this up-and-coming program in our coverage area. And, you know, Rouse was like, hey, hold up, Georgetown Eastview. We have been doing really, really good so far this season. We definitely want to continue to perform like that, and they obviously, like I said, won a thriller 49-42 against the Patriots. Marvel Falls snapped a two-game losing streak with a 62-0 win against Austin Navarro Early College. Good to see the Mustangs bounce back. And Austin McCallum, third straight victory. McCallum, interesting story before we wrap up this segment. So the Knights were originally scheduled to face Austin Northeast Early College this week, but because of some COVID, Northeast, and even another Austin ISD team, Austin Travis Early College, could not play games this week. And so what Austin ISD did was they kind of switched around their schedule. So McCallum decided to play Austin Crockett Early College, and they won 38-14. So good to see McCallum take advantage of the situation, get another win, continue their win streak. And it's going to be interesting to see how McCallum sneaks into this playoff race from that really competitive district. Well, like I said, a lot of great content ahead, and definitely looking forward to the interview and all the other coverage ahead. Talk to you soon.
Follow the latest in Central Texas high school sports all week long online at VipeATX.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome back to the Vibe High School Spotlight on Talk 1370.
Welcome back to the Vibe High School Spotlight. My name is Thomas Bing, the host of this great show. Excited to be here today. Obviously, we have a great interview coming up with one of the newer volleyball coaches in the Austin area, Lockhart's Terry Lambert. Obviously, I know the Lockhart Lady Lions are doing some good things in 2020, and definitely excited to talk to him today. How are you doing today, Coach?
Great, Thomas. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Well, obviously, you know, I know right now in Lockhart, and I know you're really busy with this. You're getting ready to prepare your team for the postseason. They just clinched a berth a couple days ago. What's it like to be leading this team to the postseason in your first season as the program's head coach?
Anytime you make the playoffs, it's a great feeling. Every coach's goal is to first make playoffs, win the district, go after a district, go far in the playoffs. Lockhart's had a pretty decent run of some playoff appearances in the last couple years, and it really was one of our goals to continue that. We had graduated a lot of seniors last year, so our program is still relatively on the young side of things. You know, we still didn't want to have a rebuilding mode. Our mode was we are still going to continue to push to be higher echelon type of play and to be up in our district. And so, you know, the girls and the team accomplished that. And so that's kind of the one things we were shooting for, and we're excited to be there.
And with it being your first year, I mean, obviously, you know, whenever there's a coaching change, there's always going to be some, you know, coaching differences, you know, obviously like the athletes will be, you know, getting from their new leader. What did you try to install from, you know, everything that you've done earlier in your career that you felt like, you know, would really put this team in a position to continue what they'd done in the past?
It really was a focus on first contact and defense. I'm a big proponent of really shoring up and really the details of it. You know, how we execute our serve receive, how we handle first contact, a third contact pressure on those kind of things. So I really threw a lot at them in the early side of things, as far as a lot of volleyball intelligence side of things. And it was rough in the early going, but you know, they kind of settled in and bought into the defensive component of it, because it's, You can't have a poor defense in volleyball and expect to really go anywhere, as every coach will tell you. So, really, that was the one thing that we shored up, and we're fairly decent on serve receive and first contact things, which is a difference maker, to be honest with you. You know, to get in there, we had to get through a relatively very challenging stretch in the back half of district, overcoming a tough Crockett team, overcoming a tough Northeast team, overcoming a tough loss of team, which we lost to the second time through, and so forth. So those details are what were the difference maker in allowing us to get to the playoffs in the first place. So that was really kind of the one thing that I really brought in and was an emphasis and continue to be an emphasis in there as well. And then graduate to the other part of things, the system schemes and those kind of things that are involved in that end of it. But the defense anchors everything and first contact anchors everything. So that was the approach that I really wanted to bring into the program as far as, you know, if you really want to do some things and really come out on the winning side, you have to focus on the first contact.
I know you mentioned obviously that tough stretch in district. I know you also played some good competition outside LaGrange, Renwick Searidge, Bastrop. What did you try to install, or what did you feel like was important takeaways from those non-district games that really kind of allowed y'all to, you know, surge in district play and, you know, win a lot of games in district play?
I wanted them to see that tougher competition. You know, Cedar Ridge was phenomenal, and Bastrop is emerging on that end of it. I think they're battling for a fourth spot over in our bye district as well. And then of course LaGrange, their head coach and I both used to be assistants in Tomball High School over in the Houston area. So it was good to schedule LaGrange. LaGrange, I think, got first or second in their district over there. I think tied for first. I'm a proponent of, and we had a shortened preseason due to the COVID and starting late. So in our larger district, didn't allow us to schedule some non-district things. And I'm a big proponent of if you really want to get prepared for a challenging run through a long district, you really get some opponents that are going to help you prepare for that. You take your beatings at certain points, and that's okay as long as, you know, we have the mindset that this is what we're going to learn and prepare for the district side of things. So, you know, I'm grateful to LaGrange and Cedar Ridge and Bastrop for really kind of getting us ready for the district, because they were pretty decent opponents on the end of it. I'd like to think that was a part of the catalyst which helped us weather, you know, a rather tough district schedule.
I know you mentioned that, you know, you've previously coached in the Houston area, and obviously that area is really well known for its volleyball excellence, just such a great volleyball hotbed. What did you try to take from your experiences, either coaching, great athletes over in that part of the state, or just, you know, coaching against, some great competition?
The level of training up and really the volleyball IQ and system work. I'm also a club coach on that end of it, so I'm really involved in this 365 days out of the year. Houston is, you know, like you said, a very much a hotbed in the area, and what we do a lot over there is a lot of system work and high-end mechanics and training and those kind of things, and really, really preparing the athlete. And then you try to get the mental toughness side of things that, you know, when you do this training, it's for the goal of putting your opponents at disadvantages. And so that Houston experience, as far as, you know, moving through the 5A, 6A, and 3A head coaching positions I had while I was over there, it allowed me to bring that over here and install those things in there as well, and really kind of manage the pressure side of things. So that's an excellent question, Thomas, on that end of it. Those things are difference makers, and if you want to be on the top end of things, and this is what you need to do on those end of it. You know, like Westlake over here has a great reputation, and we're going against Hendrickson, which is going to be a pretty good opponent. The Pflugerville schools in there as well, some of the Austin ISD schools over there, they train almost on that same basis. And I was relatively familiar with them, at least on the club side of things, as far as what athletes are being asked to produce there on that end of it. So, you always have to have that philosophy as a head coach that you always want to train those athletes up and compete up and really make aggressive plays and you know, not just to play for fun, but really to kind of to integrate an upper play and bring that over. And it has its challenges at times, but as a head coach, I don't think we would be doing our job if we didn't really bring that methodology. And that's really what's entrenched in the Houston area and Dallas area, for that matter, on that.
And, you know, for people that want to come see Lockhart's game against Pflugerville-Henderson in the opening round of the playoffs, who would you advertise from your team that is, you know, exciting or just like a leader on the court that is like worth coming out to the game?
Yeah, I'll start with our senior setter, Michaela Leyva. She's been solid all the way through the season. Really the anchor. She's our captain. She's able to really kind of connect to some hitters on some things. She's been relatively dynamic. She was a preseason VIPE player of the year on that end of it and finished, I believe, third in the voting. So she's really exciting on that end. Really, some of my offensive threats really all will come from Anissa Mitchell, who we moved from the middle to outside, and really can make some dynamic offensive plays and really hits the ball pretty solid. And then, of course, our middle blocker returning is junior Mackenzie Reynolds, who really has been a presence in the middle side of things. On the defensive side of things, Sam Rodriguez has really captained the libero position, and she's been a steady learner all the way through the season as well on that end of things. And like I said, really helping us on first contact things, keeping us in matches, whether it comes to serve, receive, or digging, or handling free balls on those side of things. So really those four as a start, we had. Then really who's emerged is, getting Layla Chambers as the other outside hitter, who really has become a playmaker, and Morgan Majeure. We moved her to the right side and for blocking purposes and attacking. And so those two have really emerged. We struggled a little bit from the pins earlier in the season, but we got some pin production from them in the back side of it, which was a help to get us into the district side of things. So really those are the key ones that are anchoring down. Those are the exciting players to watch as far as what Lockhart Volleyball has done this season and who we expect to do well against Hendrickson on this Thursday.
Great stuff. Obviously, there's a reason why, your team has made it as far as it has. I know, people expect more success from them during the postseason and in years to come from all those players that you mentioned. Finally, I want to kind of wrap this up, Coach. With your players buying in to your coaching style, and you obviously coming in as the program's new head coach, along with that, what else, what other type of element do you feel like has been really carrying this team throughout the year that you feel like can really continue your team success this year?
One of the really big intangible things I talk about with all my teams is being proactive and not reactive. That was one of the things I kind of had to change in there as well. There's, too many people play volleyball reactively. If you play too much reaction in this game, the other teams are just going to run you over. So, we start talking about reading and eyes and next destination and transitions and positional based kind of things, and being very, very, very proactive, anticipating what's happening on the other side of the court, anticipating reads on those end of it. And that's really allowed us to help shore us up on the defensive side of things, being, better predictors as far as what's being processed on the other side of the court. So, that's a great question, Thomas, because that kind of question you asked, Thomas, is really, really kind of difference makers in winning and losing a match. So those are the thing I can really identify with on that end of it is them having a clear understanding that, we have to be proactive on everything that we do on our side of the court, being proactive on servicing, being proactive reading the server, being proactive on having eyes on the setter and processing what the setter is doing on the other side of it, and then transitioning and managing the position game in there as well, which again, they've really bought into, and I've loved how they have really, really learned that part of the game. And it's paid off and allowed us to get this far. Those kind of things, Thomas, are really the difference makers as far as, how a team progresses and really what helped Lockhart Volleyball really get into the playoffs and where we are right now.
Great to hear. Well, thank you again for joining us today, Coach. And we definitely enjoyed featuring you on today's program, and definitely good luck in the playoffs.
Thank you, Thomas. I appreciate it. Thanks for having us on, and good luck to all the Austin area teams that are playing this weekend. It's exciting time of the year. We've got we got Wimberley that's in the state, and we've got some other teams that are starting in 5A and 6A. So it's really wonderful time, and thanks for you guys and all your support and what you're doing for the Austin area. And we look forward to hearing your broadcast.
Our pleasure, and absolutely. Good luck, and we'll be right back, folks.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to the Vibe High School Spotlight on Talk 1370.
Welcome back to the Vibe High School Spotlight. My name is Thomas Bingham, the host of this great show. Obviously, big thanks to Lockhart volleyball coach Terry Lambert for joining the program today. Great to talk to him about his first successful season as Lockhart volleyball's head coach. Obviously, he's doing some great things. He's implementing some great things for the Lions, not only for this season, but for future years. And we'll definitely be keeping an eye on Lockhart's playoff run in 2020 and obviously their progression in future seasons. Well, like we usually do during this segment, we dive into the small school action. And man, was there a lot to cover from this part of our content. Let's start with last week's small school UIL playoff football results. We start in 4A Division I. Lampasas beat Uvalde 61-14. Austin LBJ beat Pleasanton 61-0. Canyon Lake, the surprise, 48-27 against Lavernia. Of the three that I have already, or that I picked and that I've already mentioned, this was the first game I missed of these three. Obviously, like I said on last week's show, I'm going to plan on doing predictions, playoff predictions throughout the show's run. And Canyon Lake, I mean, props to them for upsetting Lavernia, and not just upsetting them, but winning by 21 points. That's big for the Hawks. Some other games that I did pick, and then we'll get to some games that I didn't pick last week. I did correctly pick Bernie against Burnett. Bernie won 38-7 in that contest. In 4A D2, Salado earned a forfeit victory against Rusk. I did pick Salado in this one. Center, man, late game heroics for the East Texas program. 31-30 after a game-winning field goal as time expired. So unfortunately for Central Texas, Waco Conley lost, but at least this was a great game. Once again, center won 31-30. I did have center in this one. Another game I missed. China Spring upsetting the fourth-ranked team in the state in this classification, Jasper, 45-19. Not only did they upset them, but man, they dominated the East Texas program. And Jasper's a strong program historically, and especially in recent seasons. So for them to fall in the first round of the playoffs and being the fourth-ranked team in the state, props to China Spring for doing what they did against Jasper, because that's big. And then also in this classification, Carthage earned a forfeit win against Gatesville. I did have Carthage in this one. Later on in this classification, you had Navasota dominating Austin Achieve 72-7. Giddings shutting out Maynard New Tech 48-0. Wimberley beating Smithfield 27-6. Geronimo Navarro holding on against Cuero, 31-28. So the only two that I missed from all those games I just picked, those 12 games I missed, was Canyon Lake. I had Lavernia, and I had Jasper, and trying to spring ultimately won. So 10-2, great start for me in my playoff predictions. Some other notable results in smaller classifications. 3A Division I, Lorena beat Bowling 54-14. Yoakum beat McGregor 57-13. Columbus dominated Rockdale 42-15. A lot of people, I was obviously preparing for the show on Friday night before I recorded, and a lot of people were surprised that Rockdale won, didn't perform better, but also that Rockdale didn't win this game. Because Rockdale, obviously, is a historically strong program, and they have some big-time recruits on this roster. So props to Columbus for doing what they did against Rockdale 42-15. Another game from this classification that we do not have the score of yet, because that is going on, the game is, during our recording, Little River Academy in Hallettsville. Later on in the program, I'll let you know whether or not Little River Academy beats Hallettsville or not, who this winner would face in the next round. Also in 3A Division I, Lano beat Marion 49-14. Great to see the Yellow Jackets do what they did against the Bulldogs. Laga Vista beat Randolph 26-16. Blanco beat Poteet 35-20. Another game that we don't have another score, or another game that we don't have the score of, because it is going on during the day that we record. Comfort was scheduled to play Jordanton in the opening round of the playoffs. In 3A Division II, unfortunately, we start this classification with back-to-back forfeit victories. Bollinger earned a win because Odessa Compass Academy Charter School had to forfeit, and then Bangs advanced because Tonio had to forfeit. Sonora lost to Alpine 30-22. Brady lost to Crane 49-15. Also in this classification's postseason, Franklin beat Van Vleck 58-19. Buffalo beat Altair Rice Consolidated in a thriller 34-27. Another great battle. Rogers actually won 41-34 against Tide Haven. Lexington, man, the craziest score of the night. Lexington beat East Bernard 7-0 in double overtime. That is completely true, folks. I'm not making that up. 7-0 Lexington win against East Bernard. You know, sometimes when you see those, you know, really low scoring football games, it's because, you know, there was bad weather. And as you know, there was no rain last night. So I don't know what's going on with that contest, but good to see Lexington advance, because obviously they're an area program. In 2A Division I, Cisco beat Stanford 70-32. San Saba beat Forson 31-17. Winners lost to Anson 45-7. And the district that those three teams are in for 2A Division I, I mentioned last week that Coleman had qualified for the playoffs. Unfortunately, Coleman ISD had to suspend sports until November 20th, but there wasn't an area team that got to replace it in Goldthwaite. Unfortunately, Goldthwaite did lose 34-20 to Hawley, but it was good to see Goldthwaite get an opportunity to play in the postseason. They were the next team in the district standings, and so they were able to take Coleman's original playoff spot. Also in 2A Division I, Crawford beat Cairns 49-14. Bosqueville, beat Marlin 72-8. Tulare beat Dawson 45-42. Man, a lot of great games this week, folks. It's like, you know, I'm going down all these scores, and it's like, man, like, great game. Thriller. I love that. That's great. Says a lot about the competition level in this state. Raya Vista lost to Italy 28-21. I believe I mispronounced those towns' names last week, but I learned them. It's Rio Vista, not Rio Vista, and it's Italy instead of Italy. There's some really interesting town names in Texas. Also in this classification, 2A Division I, Hearn beat Grapeland 59-14. Holland beat Centerville 28-20. Thorndale lost to Leon 40-34. Thrall lost to Normandy 43-20. Shiner beat Harper 72-12. Ganado beat Johnson City 55-14. Flatonia beat Ozona 15-6. Weimer lost to Mason 40-7. In 2A Division II, Mart earned a forfeit win against Cumbie. Bremont beat Maud 56-14. Chilton beat Detroit 52-14. Hubbard and Sims Bowie was scheduled the day that we were recording, so we don't have that by district score. Also in 2A Division II, Snook and Miles also is playing their opening round playoff game on the day that we record. Granger beat Rock Springs 42-26. Another game that is on the day that we're recording, Iola and El Dorado. Burton, unfortunately, had a forfeit loss against Cristobal. 15-1A Division I versus 16-1A Division II playoff matchups. Jonesboro beat Nueces Canyon 54-8. Lometta lost to Lakey 79-30. Another correction from last week. I was mistaken. I thought in 1A, as it is with the other classifications, that four teams from each district make the postseason. I guess it's two. So the only two teams from 15-1A Division I that made the playoffs, Jonesboro and Lometta, and 16-1A Division I, Nueces Canyon and Lakey. I already mentioned that. You had 1A Division II, Calvert beat Dimebox 52-0. Oakwood lost to Oglesby 62-52. And you also had Richland Springs beat Blanket and Cherokee beat Brooksmith. Richland beat Blanket 56-30 and Cherokee beat Brooksmith 80-30. As we wind down today's third segment, I wanted to go through some schedules for this coming week. And what I'll do is I'll go through some smaller ones because I have some projections for the larger small school playoff games this week. So let's start in 2A, see how many we can get through. Crawford in 2A Division I will be taking on Rivercrest. Bosqueville will be taking on Cooper. Tulare will be battling Lindsay. Itley will be taking on Alvord. 2A Division I also. Hearn and Beckville will battle. Holland and Garrison will grind it out on the gridiron. Shiner and Freer. Ganado versus Three Rivers. Platonia versus Refurio. Mason versus Kennedy. 2A Division II, Mart and Lovelady. Bremont and Tannehaw. Chilton and Deweyville. And I mentioned Hubbard and Sims Bowie. Whoever wins that game would take on West Sabine. Snook and Miles. That winner would take on Yorktown. Granger and Falls City will battle. Iola and El Dorado winner will take on Dionys. 1A, Jonesboro versus May. Lakey versus Water Valley. Calvert versus Cherokee, Oglesby, and Richland Springs. A lot to get through on today's program that we've already gone through, which is great. But we have a loaded final segment that you'll want to stay tuned for. So definitely keep your radio dial where it's at. I'm Thomas Bingham. Stay tuned for all our great rankings and more in the final segment. Talk to you in a couple minutes.
Follow the latest in Central Texas high school sports all week long online at VipeATX.com. Welcome back to the Vipe High School Spotlight on Talk 1370.
It's time to jump back in the South, folks. It is the final segment of today's program. We have a lot to get through. Let's jump right into it with our 5A Division II football rankings, and there have been some changes to not only this classification, but 5A D1 and 6A this week. In 5A D2, we have a new number 5, Austin McCallum. Third straight victory puts the McCallum Knights at 3-2 on the year. Good to see McCallum take advantage of their flipped around schedule this week. As I mentioned earlier on in the show, they were originally scheduled to play Austin Northeast Early College, but COVID prevented Northeast from taking the field. And so Austin ISD had the opportunity to give McCallum a different district opponent so they didn't have to waste a week. And so Austin Crockett had an opening. So McCallum took on Austin Crockett Early College, and the Knights won 38-14. Morrow Falls is at number 4 this week. They were previously number 5. McCallum was previously not ranked. Marble Falls snapped a 2-game losing streak with a 6-2-0 win against Austin Navarre Early College. Austin Northeast Early College stays at number three. They had a bye week, obviously, because of that, not being able to play the game because of COVID. Lena Rouse stays at number two. The Raiders are now 7-1 after a 49-42 thrilling victory against Georgetown Eastview. And Liberty Hill is still at 6-0, still undefeated because of its second straight bye week. In case I didn't mention, Austin Northeast Early College is 3-1 on the season. In 5A Division 1, number 5, Beauty Johnson. So they have a 6-1 record, the Jaguars do, but three of those victories have come via forfeit. And so I'm really interested to see when they are able to return to the field, who they're able to find success against. So I'm going to keep Beauty Johnson where they're at. They are 6-1. It's great to see a first-year program with a record like that. But I also want to see a little bit more from the Johnson Jaguars out of Buda. This time, obviously, the forfeit win came against Harlandale. Number 4, Pflugerville stays where they were at last week. They had a bye this week. They're 5-1. Dripping Springs falls from 2-3 because they lost 55-28 to Mansfield Timberview. They're now 5-2 on the year. Georgetown replaces them. Georgetown was previously number 3. They're now number 2. After that 63-42 high-scoring affair against Leander, and Cedar Park had another bye week, they are, just like Liberty Hill, undefeated at 6-0. So once again, in 5A D2, number 5 this week, Austin McCallum, number 4, Marble Falls, number 3, Austin Northeast Early College, number 2, Leander Rouse, and number 1, Liberty Hill. That's 5A D2. In 5A D1, it's number 5, Buda Johnson, number 4, Pflugerville, number 3, Dripping Springs, number 2, Georgetown, and number 1, Cedar Park. Okay, if you thought that was crazy, wait till you see this week's UIL 6A football rankings from Vipe Austin. We start at number 10, Austin High. Now, they were 9 last week. They had a bye week this week, the Maroons did. And basically what I did, not only for Austin High, but the team that's at number 9, Hayes, I dropped both of them because the team that was number 10 last week, Harker Heights, upset previously undefeated Colleen Shoemaker 51-50 in overtime. That's a huge win. That's a great win for Harker Heights. So even though Harker Heights has the exact record as Hayes, and obviously Austin High has one less loss than Harker Heights does, I thought it would be a good opportunity to move Harker Heights up because that is a big win that Harker Heights just earned. You have number 7, Cedar Park Vistarich, who falls from 6. They lost 31-28 to Round Rock. The Rangers are now 6-2. Round Rock, obviously, replaced them at number 6 after that big 31-28 win against Cedar Park Vistarich. Round Rock is now 5-2 on the year, so they move from 7-6. Colleen Shoemaker falls from 3 to number 5. Obviously, still a really good team. They're 6-1, but that was a surprising performance. I think a lot of people expect them to take care of business against Harker Heights, and they lost in overtime. So it wasn't a bad loss. They lost by 1 point, but you know, if you think about where those two teams were going into last week, I'm going to bump down Colleen Shoemaker to number 5 this week. Tipple moves up from 5-4. Obviously, as I mentioned earlier on in the program, the Wildcats earned a forfeit win against rival Belton. The Wildcats are now 7-1 on the year. I mean, it's really disappointing that you couldn't get that Tipple-Belton game in. Because, I mean, it's such a great rivalry. Historic rivalry goes back to the early 1900s. Obviously, those towns very competitive against each other in a lot of areas. They're neighbors, basically, in the northern part of our coverage area. So it's disappointing that those two teams and that district couldn't find a way to get that game played. But Temple did get a win out of that, and so now they're now 7-1 on the 2020 season. Austin Vandegrift improved to 6-1 with that 38-6 win against Hutto. They move up from 4-3. Lake Travis is still undefeated at 6-0. This time they earned a victory against Del Valle 42-13. Westlake did what they usually do against teams in this area. Beat Austin Bowie pretty good, 45-7. The Chaparrals are now 7-0. Once again, that our top 10 this week from Vipe Austin in the highest classification in the state for football. It's number 10, Austin High, number 9, Hayes, number 8, Harker Heights, number 7, Sierra Park Vicerage, number 6, Round Rock, number 5, Queen Shoemaker, number 4, Temple, number 3, Austin Vandergrift, number 2, Lake Travis, and number 1, Westlake. Well, like we usually do on this program, we give out a show honor. And we got a special one this week. I gave this team the award for doing something special. And I believe at some point next week, we will be posting a highlight of this play. Because it was pretty cool. It was cool to see this happen because, you know, everyone that's involved with high school sports, whether you're an athlete, a coach, you know, if you're a manager, everyone works hard to make the product a great thing. And on the first play between Austin Vandergrift and Hutto this week, Austin Vandergrift and Hutto decide to give their longtime manager, Tommy Hartman, an opportunity to score. He was born with autism. And so I want to give co-team of the week honors to Austin Vandergrift and Hutto football for giving that student, that athlete, an opportunity to, you know, do something that he's always, I bet, dreamed about. So congratulations to Austin Vandergrift and Hutto football for being named the Vipe High School Spotlight Team of the Week, but also for doing what you did. Because, you know, it's been a crazy year, and it's really cool to see highlights like that, especially on senior night. You know, Tommy Hartman, longtime team manager for Austin Vandergrift, he got to score a touchdown. I know he's going to remember that the rest of his life. Well, we're going to wind down today's program with some predictions. And like I did on last week's show, where I went 10-2, in case you missed when I was going through last week's results, I'm going to pick a 12-pack of playoff matchups every week that this show runs during the postseason. So we start in 4A. Lampasas and Corpus Christi Miller. I'm riding with Ace Whitehead and Company, a.k.a. the Lampasas Badgers. I know Corpus Christi Miller is expecting to challenge Lampasas, but, man, Lampasas is so motivated after the way their season ended last year, and I believe Lampasas is going to get through another early playoff hurdle. They have great stretches ahead in my mind for this season. Next game, Austin LBJ Early College versus Alice. I got LBJ. Canyon Lake and Cal Allen. I got Cal Allen, the South Texas Power, who previously was in 5A. Slato versus Belleville. Belleville has beaten some good teams this year, but I'm going Slato. I'm going the local route. Slato's having a great year as well. The Eagles out of Slato. China Spring is taking on Southeast Texas Power West Orange Stark. I got West Orange Stark, a.k.a. WOS. Navasota and Rockport Fulton, two well-known programs in the state, but I got Navasota, program that's between Houston and College Station. They have state championship pedigree. Giddings and Sinton. Giddings, great to see them pick up a playoff win this week, but I got Sinton this week. Geronimo Navarro and Raymondville got Navarro. Wimberley and Hondo, I got Wimberley. Lorena and Crockett, I got Lorena. Columbus and Woodville, I got Columbus. And finally, Yoakum and East Chambers, I got East Chambers. So that's 12 games for you this week. And obviously, I'll have some more for you in future episodes of the Vipe High School Spotlight. Well, if you enjoyed today's program, don't forget to follow Vipe on social media, Vipe Texas on Facebook, VipeATX on Twitter, and Vipe_ATX on Instagram. Don't forget to check out VipeATX.com and Vipe.com for incredible high school sports coverage locally and across the state and in other states as well. If you want to follow me on social media, you can follow me at TexNation, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Obviously, a lot of great coverage on today's show. Big thanks to everyone that was a part of it. Casey Johns behind the scenes. Obviously, Lockhart coach Terry Lambert. We'll talk to you next week. Adios, folks.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.